devil's down eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings you dead to life. Whoa, oh, oh. We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Let's get washed by the water, washed by the water. Rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. Let's go down. Took me from dusty roads into paradise. All of my dirt, all of my shame, drowned in the streams that have made me born again. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings you dead to life. Whoa.
Seated, turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and say good morning. This life is a journey. Here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. And if there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, just say amen. Sometimes through the darkness it's hard to see, brave and follow where He leads. Because greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's. And if there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen.
gone. Hope for tomorrow. You've seen it time and time again. Just say amen. Even in the valley of the shadow, when you feel alone in the unknown, just say amen. Just say amen. Even when the storms are raging,
continue on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father God, we thank you so much for this time of worship, God. We thank you that we can come freely into your house and worship you, God. We ask, God, that as Mike brings a message this morning, that you would just speak through him, that it would draw us closer to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Have you ever been stressed, worried, anxious, confused? Maybe all of the above. Are you worried about your next paycheck or your diet? What about your grades? Will they be good enough to get you into that college? Are the deadlines at work piling up? While your marriage is falling apart? Do you feel like a bill is due every day? And with all these repairs, you can never get ahead? Does it seem like the whole world is closing in around you? How can you win the war against worry when you just feel overwhelmed?
Welcome to Cornerstone this morning. We're glad to have you. We're in a series about being overwhelmed, about stress and anxiety and busyness and the craziness in our lives today. And so hopefully, as we've gone through this, it's given you some hope. It's given you some hope that you don't have to stay overwhelmed, that you can overcome those feelings and truly live just with the joy and peace that you can only find from Christ. Now, if you're here this morning, I'll mention from time to time, you can follow along with the message a couple of different ways. You have in your bulletin, you'll see a place you can kind of take notes and track along that way. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, you can just track along with the sermon notes on that. Even email yourself the notes that you take and kind of even see the scriptures that we use on there as well. So we've got several different ways you can kind of track along. Now, one of the things that characterizes stress, anxiety, and worry is the feeling of fear that we have about what might happen. And fear is such a powerful emotion. I know we've all experienced fear, and it really does. It has physiological effects, too. I know just a couple of nights ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. Have you ever done it with your heart just racing? You know, you're excited. You're like, you're just adrenaline full force. And what I was dreaming now that somebody was trying to break in the house. So I woke up in the middle of the night ready to go full on ninja. You know, I mean, I was just ready to get up, and I didn't know. And I'm like, and it took me a minute to kind of come back to my senses and say, you know, I was just dreaming all that. Have y'all ever done that? And that adrenaline surge, I mean, that fear, man, somebody here, I'm going to get them. You know, I mean, that fear that you have, I mean, it really affects your body. And it's not just in big things like that. That same emotional response is what happens to us when we become fearful about what might happen or what could happen or what somebody's going to think or what somebody's going to say. Those feelings of fear can often paralyze us, and they can confuse us. And so we have all sorts of different fears. We have fears of rejection. We have fears of failure. We have this overwhelming sense at times that things aren't going to turn out the way that we want them to turn out. And so those fears can cripple us and paralyze us. And I want you to know this morning, and we've said throughout this series, feeling overwhelmed is not a sin. But how we respond to it shows whether we respond in a sinful way or in a Christ-like healthy way. And so this morning, one of the things we've done throughout this series is we keep going back to the Psalms because we see that we're not alone. In Psalm 61, I want to share with you this morning, we see that this feeling of being overwhelmed, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It says here, Psalm of David, and again, it's to be accompanied by stringed instruments. The Psalms are songs. And I thought I would prepare a song for you this morning, but then I didn't. No, y'all don't want to hear that. So I'm just going to read this to you this morning. It says, "Oh God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer from the ends of the earth. I cry to you for help when my heart is what? Overwhelmed." And so here we see David saying, When I feel overwhelmed, the first thing I do, I cry out to you. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me an inheritance reserved for those who fear your name. Add many years to the life of the king. May his years span the generations. May he reign under God's protection forever. May your unfailing love and faithfulness watch over him, and then I will sing praises to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day. And so what we see here is a response to feeling overwhelmed. Where do we turn? Where do we go? We can rest in God. He is there. He is our safe refuge. He is where we can hide. He is where we can run to. Instead of running away from God, we run to God in the times of stress and worry and anxiety. And so this morning, I just want to jump right in with the first point this morning, because this is really the foundation of everything we're going to talk about. And it's simply this, if you're following along. God wants us to live free from fear so that we can experience peace. I really, truly believe that so much could be done in the church if we would just not be afraid. We get afraid so many times, and we don't realize that God desires for us to live at peace. Peace is something everyone wants, but yet so few seem to find. So what is peace? If you see peace commonly defined, it's a sense of calm or tranquility or quietness or bliss or contentment, well-being that we feel when everything is going the way we would like it. And you see this word peace, or various words that are translated peace, over 429 times in the Bible. So it's a theme that runs from Genesis to Revelation. In the Old Testament, the primary Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it refers to relationships between people, relationships between nations, and relationship between God and man. Peace is the desired state in each of those relationships. We're to have peace in those relationships. And so we see over and over again that God's desire is for us to live in a fear-free, peaceful world. But the biblical concept of peace, here's where we get confused a little bit. We think about peace being the absence of trouble. But the biblical concept of peace is not determined by our circumstances. It's really a goodness of life that is not touched by anything that happens to us. You may be in the midst of a great trial and still have peace. And so for us to realize that no matter what happens to us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we can be at peace. We can be at peace with other people, and we can be at peace with God. And so you see people sometimes that kind of have that calm demeanor in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a conflict, and you think sometimes they're apathetic or uninterested, and the reality is maybe they just have a peace. They have that quiet strength that carries them through. We see just throughout the Bible this, how much that God wants us to live at peace. Let's go all the way back to the book of Numbers in chapter 6. This is what the Lord told Moses. He said, the Lord bless you and keep you. This is kind of the benediction prayer, right? May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you what? Peace. That's his, when he's praying for the people, say, may the Lord give you, he could say love, joy, but he says peace. This is what we need. We need peace. Even Jesus, when he was giving the last instructions to his disciples, he could have told them a lot of things, but what did he tell them? In John 14:27, we see this is how he prepares them to leave and prepares them before he goes to the cross. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. One of the very last things he told us, don't be afraid. Be at peace. And John 16:33, he says, I have told you these things so that you may, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so again, we see that our concept of peace, it shows that it's not determined by circumstances. It's not determined by trials. It's not determined by other people. Our peace is determined by being in Christ. And we even see this, and Paul wrote about it. John wrote about it. This is what Paul wrote in Philippians. And this is a verse that if you're struggling with this anxiety, stress, worry, this feelings of overwhelm, this is a verse that you need to write out, stick it somewhere visible, pray it over and over and over again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, and a peace that transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. John said it this way in 1 John 4:18. He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We see this concept over and over again through Scripture that we're not to fear, but we're to have peace. But even though we see this, I think if you're completely honest with yourself and completely honest with me, you would be able to say you still have a lot of pockets of fear in your life. And some of those fears are maybe rational fears that keep you from doing something stupid, but so many of those fears are irrational because they're based on things that simply aren't true. Very few people I know consistently live in peace and have a peace that transcends all understanding. So why do we struggle so much with this concept of peace? I really think the fundamental barrier to us having peace in our lives is fear. It's fear about what might happen, what could happen, what has happened. It's fear about the unknown, fear about the future. And this fear seeps beneath the surface of our life, and it leads us to be anxious. And so what happens on a day-to-day basis? We have something that concerns us. And we start dwelling on it, and it turns into being worried about it, to be anxious about it. And the more we're worried and anxious about it, we start sinning because we start focusing on how we can change the future instead of living in the present. And then when that happens, well, then what happens? We start neglecting our relationships with other people. We get grumpy. We get miserable. We get mad. We get bitter, right? And then what happens? We start feeling guilty about it. And then you start losing hope because you want to change, but you realize that you keep messing up over and over again. And then you start feeling hopeless. You see what happens? I mean, this is the cycle that takes place. When we focus on our problems, we focus on our circumstances, we focus on the situations in life, when we focus on the conflict, when we focus on the problems instead of focusing on Christ. It just spirals out of control. And so I want you to know this morning that godly peace, I want you to hear me on this, it has nothing to do with human circumstances or other people. It has nothing to do with that. That type of peace is very fragile. It can be broken at a minute's notice. But the peace of God is not subject to uncertainties in life. It is steadfast, and we can know without a doubt that we can have peace. And so peace, it's not just the lack of trouble. It's not just being calm. Let me give you a better definition of what peace really is, because this is the inner peace. This is a peace that transcends all understanding. Peace, it's an attitude of heart and mind when we truly believe that all is well between ourselves and God. All is well between ourselves with God. Can I just say, when you step back and you realize that as a believer in Christ, as a believer, that you know your sins are forgiven, that you know that you have a relationship with God, you know that you have received God's grace and His mercy, it doesn't matter what happens to you in this life, you know you have Jesus and you know that Jesus is enough. That's the type of peace I'm talking about. You realize that it's not based on what happens, but it's based on who Christ is. And we know that God loves us, we know that God cares, and we know that God has made a way so that we can have a relationship with Him. And it's through Jesus Christ alone, and it's through the cross. Paul closed his letter to the Thessalonians with some practical instruction. And this is what he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He said, "May the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." And then in verse 18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." He's saying here, "May the Lord of peace." And there's significance there, right? Because he's not just saying that Jesus is a peaceful person, but he said Jesus is peace. The Lord of peace. Peace. He is God in His very being. He is characterized by peace. He is peace. And so we can have a relationship. We can be content in that. We can have perfect calm and contentment even in the midst of every problem in life. And why? Because God is like that. It's who God is. Think about this. God is never surprised by anything that happens. God is never surprised by it. Nothing can threaten who He is, His power. He's not deceived by Satan. And so what we see is God in His perfection. That's the image that we look to. That's the peace that we long for. That peace, it doesn't matter. Nothing should surprise us. It doesn't matter what happens in life. Nothing should shake us because our foundation is on Christ. In Psalm 42, what do we do when we feel trouble? This is what David said. He says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." That should be our prayer. If you're a believer in Christ, hear me on this. I mean, we have this peace because we know that Jesus is our Savior. We know that He is our God. And when we get discouraged, when we get sad, and it will happen, it's when we take our eyes off of our problem and we fix them on Christ. We can trust God because He is trustworthy. We can trust Him because He cares about us. This may be difficult to understand, but I want to give you another kind of definition. It's in your notes here. And what is the opposite of faith? It's fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And so what happens in our minds is when we say, I'm worried about this. I'm fearful about this. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm worried about this, God. We're saying, I don't have faith in You. Do a little exercise with me. Take out your sermon notes and think about a problem in your life that you are fearful about. It may be a health issue. It may be uncertainty with finances. Whatever it is, write out what you're fearful about, what's been worrying you, what's been keeping you up at night, what you're thinking about in those times of the day when your mind just wanders. Write out something. You can just write out a word to trigger. You can just think about it, but write that out because I want to use that in a little exercise here. Take that fear. Let's name it, okay? And then just say this. I don't believe God can or will do something about what you just wrote down. Because that's what fear says. Fear says, I don't believe, God, you can do anything about this problem. You could say, I don't believe God will love me because of this. That's what fear says. Fear says, I don't believe Jesus will be enough for me in this situation, in this problem. That may seem extreme, but that's what we say when we're fearful. That's what we say when we let fears control us. That God, you are not enough. That God, I have to handle this on my own. And I hope you start realizing what fear does to us. It just paralyzes us. It keeps us from trusting God. It keeps us from walking with God. It destroys that peace. That relationship between God and ourselves, because we're always worried. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, and he told Timothy some instruction, and Timothy was a young pastor. Paul was training him. He was mentoring him. And so what Paul told him is an instruction that we all need to hear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, for God has not given us. He's encouraging him here and saying, wait a minute. I see here some issues that you've got to remember this. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power of love and of self-discipline. That's the type of attitude that we need. We don't need fear. We don't need timidity. We don't need worried and anxious and people afraid of what might happen or what could happen or what people think. We need people who can stand up and say, I know I have the power of Christ in me, working through me, and I can love and I can be a disciplined person. That's what the attitude that we need to have. Now, God doesn't want us to live with this fear. And so I want to kind of help us break through this a little bit. I want to help give you some instruction and teaching. And I know that some Christians would probably give you kind of a false impression about fear. They would say, well, you have fear because you just haven't asked God to take it away. And if you ask Him to take it away, then it'll be gone. Or they'll say, you still have fear, you still have worry, or you still have anxiousness because you don't have enough faith. And I think the reality is that, yes, God has the power to remove it, but He also requires us to take a step with Him. And so while God can and He will do it, He also requires us to put in some effort ourselves. And so I want to give you some practical steps here, how we can kind of put in the effort, how we can turn fear into faith, how we can turn this around, how we can start living with peace, with joy. And so let me just go through a couple of ways how we can partner together with God. The first step is simply this. We need to understand fear's origin. There's a funny thing in life that sometimes we're very afraid of things and we don't even realize why we're afraid of them. Some people are afraid of water or swimming or being in a boat. And if you trace it back far enough, they were possibly had a near drowning experience, or they watched somebody struggle in the water, or they've heard stories about it. And you can trace it back, and there's something about the water that just has them, that has made them afraid. It has an origin. That fear has an origin. Some people are afraid of public speaking because some teacher made you stand up in fifth grade in front of the class and you were scared completely to death and you made a fool of yourself, and now you're afraid to even stand up and speak in front of anybody. And so that fear had a origin and a bad experience. Some people have a fear of flying because you watch the news too much. Or maybe it's even a completely irrational fear that, you've grown up to be afraid of police because you were always told when you were little, oh, be afraid that if you keep on acting up, I'm going to have them come arrest you. Don't do that if you're a parent, by the way. But that's you have fears because of things you've experienced, things you've heard, things you've gone through in life. And those fears are rooted in sometimes very real, concrete experiences that we've had. But I want you to understand that fear. And I want you to understand if that fear is preventing you from following Christ, then you've got to deal with it. We've had a lot of people that say, man, I want to go on a mission trip. I really do, but I won't fly. And it's funny because We've had some people that were really scared to death, Ashley, of flying, but they conquered that fear and they went and they absolutely loved it. It wasn't easy. You talked a lot on the plane, but why are you afraid? What is the origin of that fear? Because when you start identifying it, then you realize how you can work through it and work past it. And so that's the kind of the first step to overcome kind of these, the fears. You have to understand the origin of it. The second step is you have to expose the fears lies, the lies. You have to understand why we're fearful and the lies behind it. Once you have a firm understanding of the origin of fear, the next step is to expose it. In John, in the book of John, Jesus actually refers to Satan as a liar and the father of lies in John 8:44. And that kind of reveals Satan's primary strategy is deception. He wants to steal, to kill, destroy. He wants to deceive you and make you believe lies. I've mentioned before, I've even called it scenario sickness, when we start getting all these things in our head and making up scenarios about what might happen. And maybe you do this and you think, you get in a situation and you're worried about what's going to happen at work, or you're worried about what's going to happen at school, or you're worried about what's going to happen in a relational conflict. And so in your mind, you start going, okay, I'm worried about this. And so if they say this, I'm going to do this. And I wonder if this happens, here's how I should respond. And you start mapping out all these scenarios of what could happen. And before you know it, you've spent hours coming up with possible scenarios. Have you ever done that? The technical term for that is catastrophizing. It's like thinking everything's going to be a catastrophe. The worst case scenario about everything. And so what that is, we have to realize when we start doing that, what's the root of that? Because the reality, that never happens. All the scenarios we play out in our minds, what happens? Satan wants us to believe the worst case in every situation. He wants us to distrust people. He wants us to think that everything is going to fall apart. And when we understand, when we expose the lie of Satan, that what we see is that we've taken our eyes off of God and we've put them on deception. And so we have to expose that. The fear of what might happen, it will keep you from dealing with your problems. It keeps you from trusting God. It keeps you from stepping out in faith. It keeps you from having peace in your relationships. So if you want to turn fear into faith, you've got to understand fear has an origin. And then secondly, you've got to understand that fear has deception at its root. Step three, the thing we've got to do, we got to face our fears head on. We got to face them head on. Studies show that avoiding our fears only causes them to escalate. They just grow worse and worse. And so what we have to do, we have to just realize, one, that many of our fears are irrational. They're not based on truth. They're not based on God's word. Our fears are just simply based on faulty thinking. And so in order to deal with them, we just face them head on. I mentioned like maybe flying on a mission trip and just realize you have to lean into it and walk into it and just trust God. Say, God, if you want me to go here, I'm going to trust you to get me there and I'm going to trust you to get me there safely. Or maybe there's a fear of you're afraid to talk to someone because of how they may respond. And you've in your mind, you've just played all this out and you think it's going to go bad. And maybe God's saying, but you need to deal with this. And he's leading you just to talk to that person. And you got to trust God. And just face that fear head on. Part of being a parent is helping our children understand and deal with irrational fear. Now, there are some rational fears, right? I mean, you don't want your child going up and putting their hand on a hot stove. You want them to have be afraid of that because it is dangerous. You don't want them to play in the middle of the street. I mean, there's certain rational fears that protect us and keep us safe. But an irrational fear is a child growing up thinking that a monster is going to get them coming out from under the bed. Why? Because it doesn't exist. It's irrational. And so as a parent, you don't fuel that irrational fear. You don't sit there and try to scare them. No, what you do, you bring out the flashlight and say, there's nothing here. You are all right. There's nothing to fear. And as a parent, we help our children, guide them through their irrational fears, because we don't want them as adults to let fear prevent them from following Christ. And it's amazing how childhood fears turn into adulthood phobias. And so I just tell you, part of that, we've got to face our fear head on. And so when your child has an irrational fear, what do? You face it head on. You don't make excuses. You just face it head on. And when we as adults, when we face problems and we get scared about doing something and we realize that at its origin, there is no truth, we realize there's a lie, that we're believing a deception from Satan, what do? We face it head on. That's how you turn fear into faith. And then step four, this is where it gets good. We just speak words of truth. The truth wins every time. The truth wins every time. We see this from Jesus. When he was being tempted in the desert, Satan came to him three times. And every time Satan came to him and tempted Jesus, how did Jesus respond? He spoke words of truth. Satan, turn this stone into bread. Jesus, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we see Jesus speak words of truth. And I want you to understand that Satan cannot read your mind, but he can definitely hear your voice. And so we need to speak words of truth. We need to speak words of truth. One of my favorite scenes in the movie War Room. How many of y'all saw that movie, War Room? It was like being in a charismatic church service when Priscilla Shire ran around and prayed through her house. And so what I did, I actually found that video clip. I want you to watch it because if you ain't seen this movie, it's kind of a spoiler, I know. If you hadn't seen the movie, sorry. But this is this is the best clip out of the whole movie. Let's watch this. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, that's so powerful, because when we speak words of truth, what we're doing, we're rebuking Satan and telling him where to go. And and I know you think, well, that's kind of crazy. I shouldn't go around talking to myself. I'm telling you, the devil can't read your mind, but he can hear your voice. And you, if you're praying as you go down the road in your car, people think you're crazy anyway. It doesn't matter. Pray walking around your house. Pray, let your kids see you pray out loud. Pray over your children. Pray for your spouse. We need to speak words of truth. And because here's why, the next point, when you or I worry, what we're doing, we're choosing to be mastered by our circumstances instead of by the truth of God. We're saying, I'm more consumed about the circumstances in my life instead of the truth that we find in God's word. And so when we look over and over throughout Scripture, what we see is this peace. What we see is this joy. What we see is this strength that we have in Jesus Christ. Let me just read a few verses. Psalm 34, he says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. You see, we can have confidence in this, that we don't have to be enslaved to our fears. Joshua 1 says this, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. In the midst of any circumstance, he is there. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's a promise we have from God. He is there. Isaiah 43 says this, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid. Why? Because I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And so we present our request to God. We speak truth. We can pray. We can come before him in confidence, knowing that he hears us, he loves us, and that he cares for us. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. I read this earlier, but let's read it from the Message now, because I believe this really hits home to what we need to do. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't fret or worry That's convicting to a lot of people in this room because you like to worry. You like to fret. You just say, that's who I am. I'm telling you, that's not who God created you to be. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. It's really what peace is, right? A wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. We need to hear that. We need to believe it. We need to live it because nothing complicates our life faster than being paralyzed by destructive fears. It robs us of that shalom, that peace, that soul-satisfying peace that God desires for us and that God created us to live in. And so it's time for all of us to face our fears. You've suffered from Satan long enough, believing his lies. I believe he is using this series to call us out of that, to call us into trust, to call us into peace, to call us into faith, living with him and for him. It's time to start doing those things that fear have held you back from. And so here's how we're going to close this morning. Here's our response time. Here, I want you to ask yourself this question. I want you to write it down. What prevents you from experiencing peace in your life? What is it that's robbing you of that joy, that peace, that calmness, that tranquility, that wholeness? What is it that's keeping you from having that type of peace in your life? What causes anxiety? What causes you to be afraid? What causes you to not trust God? Is it financial issues? Is it bad news that you've heard? Is it a moral failure that you've had in the past and you say, I just can't overcome this? Is it realizing that your life is fragile and temporary? That you realize your own mortality. What is it? Is it something that's come crashing into your life unexpected and you've not been able to get a hold of it? Don't rationalize to yourself and say, I'm just a natural warrior. That's who I am. No, let's face it head on. Let's speak words of truth. Let's go to God and trust him and let's just walk with him through it. When fear threatens you and overturns your peace, you can stand up and fight. I hope, I'm passionate about this because I believe that we just roll over and give in to Satan time after time again when Christ is calling us to stand up and walk with him. We're in a war. And I think sometimes we think, well, that's kind of crazy. No, we live, there's spiritual warfare all around us. And we need to understand that. You wouldn't walk in the middle of a war zone without being protected. And yet we do that when we don't pray. We do that when we don't spend time with God. And we have to learn that this is truly a battle. And when we realize that God is using all this stuff to mold and shape us and to transform us to be more like Christ, you realize that that's not where your peace comes from, is the circumstances. You realize that your peace comes from Christ who steadies you through every single thing. Colossians 3 says this, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. I'm going to close with this verse, and then our praise team is going to come back up. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So where are your thoughts fixed this morning? What is it that's keeping you from having peace at your life? Each week we have a time to respond. And the reason, one of the big reasons we started our response time here at Cornerstone, and you can read a little bit more about it on that card and the seat back in front of you. One of the big reasons we started this is we wanted this time at the end of our service not just to be for one or two people who may not know Christ. Yes, it is still for you. You need to respond and you need to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord of your life. But we want every single person in this room to have an opportunity to respond to the truth that you've heard today. And so for some of you, there's many ways you can do that. You can go to the cross and you can write out your prayer request and leave it at the cross and we'll pray for you this week. For some of you, it's just coming and taking communion and realizing that Jesus, his body was broken and his blood was poured out. He died so that you could have peace. You could have peace with each other. You could have peace with God. And for some of you, maybe you need to talk, or you have a decision to make, or you can take out a communication card and say, this is my decision. This is what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start standing up and fighting instead of giving in to Satan. Whatever it is this morning, I want to challenge you. Will you respond? Will you respond? Will you allow God to speak into your life? And will you respond back? And so right now, the praise team's going to come up. We're going to pray, and we're going to close out this morning with a powerful time of worship. Would you guys join with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I thank you that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could be set free, so that we don't have to live in slavery to fear, and we don't have to live in slavery to deception. And we know that Satan, he comes just to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but that Jesus, you have come that we may have an abundant life, a full life. And Lord, we thank you for that. And so this morning, I pray for every person in this room, if they're struggling with worry and anxiety, I pray that they will be set free. And Lord, we know that requires that we have to do some self-examination, that we have to put an effort in, that we have to face our fears and walk with you through them. But we know that you will give us the power to do that. And Lord, I pray for those in this room who are not at peace in anything in life because they simply don't know you as their Lord and Savior. This morning, would it be the morning that they make the decision that forever changes their life, that they surrender, that just say, I'm tired of trying to do things my way. I'm going to trust your way, God. We know that salvation is found in no one else except Jesus Christ. And I pray that this morning they would give their life to him, that they would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead and find salvation through that proclamation. Lord, we just thank you so much this morning. I pray that as a church, we will not be held back by fear, but we will be able to boldly walk forward in faith, that we would trust you, God, that we would not buy into Satan's lies, but instead we would just trust in the truth that we find through Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. So as we close this morning, it's your opportunity. What's God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? And there's many ways you can do that. Again, we just invite you to be faithful this morning.
So I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. Cause I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. Give me faith, trust what you say, that you're good. May fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail.
I am your good.
still as you call. Deeper still as you call. Deeper still into love. Love, love, love. As you call. Deeper still as you call. Still as you call me, deeper still as you love, 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 as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into
fear. If we're children of God, then we don't have to be afraid of anything because God's got our back, right? He's got the whole world. He's overcome everything that we could ever be afraid of. So just sing this song out to Him, and it's your last chance to respond. There's plenty of stuff left up at the communion tables, or come up to the cross and pray, whatever you need to do. Just respond in however you see fit.
Through my veins, from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name, and I've been born again to your family.
We thank you that you have overcome this world, God, that we don't have to be slaves of fear, God, that whatever brings us down, God, that we could just turn to you, and that if we focus on you, that we know that you've overcome it, God. We pray, God, as we go through this week, that you would help us just to face our fears, God. Help us to look to you when we come to a stressful moment or a fearful moment, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.